Mark Carman is here from the WGN Sports Department. He has been in Cleveland for the last couple of days. He witnessed it firsthand. I'm not imagining it, Mark. The Cubs are the World Series champions.
It is unbelievable, right, Bill? I'm live at a rest stop. There's a gazillion Cub fans all headed back home. A lot of blue taking in either an Einstein bagel or a Burger King or a Sbarro. They've got great rest stops in Ohio. They
yes.
really do. They're very clean.
Yes.
It's outstanding.
The one thing you have to admit, Mark, is there was never a second of doubt last night, was there? Not even a second.
Why does everybody bust Carman about this? He's a Cubs fan who was scared to be too confident.
Sure. Right.
I think I died about seven times last night. I was trying to count it up. I mean, the Rajay Davis homer to tie it, that's like at least three deaths. I was, Kevin Powell, who was great to sit next to, told me, congratulations, you won the World Series, I think in the third inning when they were up 3-1. And I'm like, dude, do you understand that these are the Chicago Cubs, and until they're not, they are.
Yeah.
But, they were up 5-1, guys. I think we can all remember that, and it felt like it was over. And
that's when my husband said, this game is over, the Cubs have won it. And I said, I wish them the best, but the Indians have stuff left in them.
They did. That's a great team. They battled hard, and, I thought that, listen, if they had ended up blowing that game, Joe Maddon would be getting crucified today.
He made some interesting moves.
It was horrendous 2 days for Joe Maddon.
Yeah.
Okay, can I ask both of you, being big Cubs fans, why in the world did Joe Maddon take Kyle Hendricks out? I mean, why?
Or Arrieta the day before?
No, there's no real good answer there. Kyle Hendricks was rolling. He struggled early, but then he clearly had found his groove. And he also had struck out the last batter he faced. But, home plate umpire Sam Hoberg missed the call. I just was like, and he's one out away from getting a victory. I know that doesn't matter, but it's like, come on, man. The guy looks good. You've got a lead. There was no reason to go to the bullpen. Plus, he had said the day before that he was not going to bring John Lester into an inning in the middle of an inning. He was going to let him start an inning.
He threw to first base, though, last night, didn't he?
Only because the ball was
hit. I don't care.
He had to.
He did it. It was underhand, and it worked.
But he doesn't throw. Like, he's done that before. It's just a pickoff move. He never does a pickoff move.
Oh, he never will do it?
No. No.
It was kind of exciting for me to see that. And, of course, if Kyle Hendricks was not taken out, David Ross would have never had that home run.
Yeah, but he also wouldn't have fallen over and been concussed and given up two runs on a wild pitch. I mean, that was
a terrible thing to see. I felt so sorry for him.
Yeah.
I really did. He got whacked in the face, fell over. That was bad, and then two runs come in.
Getting back to your question about taking Kyle Hendricks out, John Smoltz said something yesterday, Mark, and I've heard other baseball people say this before. You never want to, as a manager, you never want to make a move that makes the other team happy, and removing Kyle Hendricks sparked that other team. They just couldn't get a grip on his pitching, and all of a sudden, you saw them sitting up straighter in the dugout going, with a guy we can't hit, all of a sudden, he's out of the game.
Right, and that stadium was completely dead. There was no energy in it, and it flipped. All of a sudden, Lester's out there. He can't hold runners. It's not a position he's used to. And then, then they have their rally there from 5-1, 5-3. I just don't get it when managers, when you can just stay out of it and you're fine, you don't have to insert, I'm going to make genius move here.
Right.
There was just no reason to do that. And with Lester, too, he was rolling. There was no reason to bring in Chapman in the eighth. I mean, Lester was painting the corners, looked extremely comfortable, has pitched in those type of situations numerous times in his career.
Yeah.
Tremendous under pressure. Chapman had thrown a ton of pitches the night before and more so in game five. I mean, there was every reason to leave John Lester in.
Carm, hold your thought for a minute. We go live to the newsroom with a big announcement from Kim Gordon.
Okay, guys, I'm seeing on Twitter in more than two places that Mayor Emanuel says the Cubs victory parade will be tomorrow. Details to follow, but expected to run from Wrigley Field to Grant Park. So stay tuned. Probably tomorrow. Not 100% confirmed at this point, but it looks like the parade will be tomorrow.
Oh, you know what this means. I've got a vacuum. You can't have a parade with dust. I'll get everything looking nice. Don't worry.
Mark Carmen on the line with us right now at one of the oases.
One of the finer oases.
Is that where you are now?
Yeah.
We've actually re-entered the vehicle. I am driving, so it was emotional leaving that oasis. Beautiful oasis again. Highly recommend it if you get to Ohio.
All right, well, you have to get home because allegedly at this point, reports of the rally being tomorrow. We will, of course, keep you posted and give you all the details. We'll be covering it live. We're going to be in the studio probably when it happens, and we've got you covered.
Won't that be fun? Mark, we were talking yesterday that should the Cubs not win this game, of course, we would be disappointed, but all in all, it was a tremendous season, nothing to be embarrassed about, and certainly they have the cornerstones for a brilliant future ahead of them. What was the mood of Cleveland Indians fans yesterday, up 3-1, looking like, oh, this is a shoe-in, we're going to be the champs? Was it dejection central, like I can imagine, last night after the game?
I did go down in like the seventh inning, Bill, and was interviewing fans and just basically trying to talk to Cub fans. Actually, I was interviewing this guy. I'm like, you know, getting his thoughts, and then up walks his wife, who I used to date. That was an interesting
moment.
That happened. But they looked very much in love. It was a beautiful scene. Right. What was going on in the seventh, eighth inning was Cub fans and Indians fans who had been great friends in great Midwestern cities, and we love you, and I love you, the whole thing. They were fighting, and they needed security down there. People were drunk, and it was getting ugly. Shirts were getting ripped. I was trying to do interviews, say, okay, I'm going to go get out of there. And then I walk up, I'm looking for security. I find one 80-year-old man. Down in the fifth row, there's about five 20-year-olds about to rip each other's heads up. You might want to get a couple dudes with you and stop that. So the anger had come out towards the seventh and eighth inning. So I don't know what it was like after Davis hit the home run, but the friendliness was gone.
Mm. Because you have to admit, during the series, and we've certainly seen this when the Blackhawks play various other teams in the playoffs and into the finals, you build up a hatred for the other team almost. But I didn't see that with the Cubs and the Indians. They were very cordial to each other and almost seemed to admire each other's work throughout the series.
Yeah, I mean, I think the players had a lot of respect on both sides. I mean, every time you saw slide into second base, Rizzo and Lindor, and he's getting up and he's giving him the pat on the back, the whole thing. And, you know, in the dugout, Madden and Francona, I mean, those guys are good friends.
Yeah.
So I don't think there was a lot of hatred going on between the teams at all. I think both teams just had a lot of respect for how good each of them were, and, you know, being a part of, you know, one of the greatest World Series of all time, maybe the greatest World Series game of all time. So, yeah, the hatred between the two teams definitely was not there. In the stands, it changed.
All right, now who's the Indians manager?
Terry Francona.
All right, can I just tell you that it's like he's a human hamster spitting those sunflower seeds out of his mouth. I was getting...
Did you see him in the wheel? He was spinning in a wheel between innings.
I couldn't believe it's like he's chewing so quickly and then just like... they just come flying out. It was so exciting.
Did you hear what he said pregame, how he injured himself after game six going into game seven?
No.
He fell asleep in his bed with the remote control basically crushing his ribs. He woke up having a nightmare. He thought somebody was crushing him, and he's got all this pain. He looks around, and he sees the remote control is just buried basically up against him. And he proceeds to talk about how he needs to change his habits. He fell asleep watching TV, eating pretzels, dipping them in peanut butter with the TV on, and fell asleep on the remote.
I mean, like this guy. Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Wow.
All right, well, 10-2 position. Get home safely because we need you home for the rally tomorrow. On behalf of Sox fans everywhere, I can't speak for all of them, but I can speak for me. Congratulations. Enjoy the ride, Cubs fans.
Thanks, Wendy.
Take care, Mark. Drive safe.
Thanks, Bill. Yep.
That's our own Mark Carmen.
And that was sponsored by Wintrust, home of Cubs checking, and by Sloan Water Connects Us. Really, enjoy the win. I'm very happy all the Cubs fans. This is so good for Chicago.
It really is. It's some positive energy, and we needed
for
that.
For once.
Yeah, it is. All right, we'll take a break. We'll find out what Steve has on the Wintrust business launch. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder on WGN.